to another episode of the Infamous Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Potter, and this is my co-host,
Brian Tudor.
Today we are going to talk about X-Men Apocalypse.
Well, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff, not just X-Men Apocalypse, British Johnny. Hey guys, that wasn't British Johnny, that was
PBS Johnny.
Oh, sorry, PBS Johnny. Please don't do that the entire episode.
This is PBS.
So, show me the British one then, is the difference.
Hello, this is the British Johnny. And then there's the Australian Johnny.
I don't hear it.
Oh, yeah, really?
I'm kidding. All right, so, hey guys, welcome to episode 46 of the Infamous Podcast, an apocalyptic revolution. Mm-hmm. So, we've got some quick hits for news this week. We're going to talk about TMNT 2. Ecto Cooler's back on shelves. Rogue One is back for some reshoots. We're gonna
Ecto Cooler's like people are
losing their minds over.
I want to see a riot. I want to see an Ecto Cooler riot.
I want to go and just spill a bunch out in front of a grocery store.
Yeah,
just like what are you doing?
Just like we'll get a bottle and just video record me slicing it open and going ah.
We'll do a will it blend and put it in the ninja.
Nice. Ninja.
All right. So then we're gonna talk about the first four Rebirth books. It was hard to say. That came out this week.
Say it five times fast.
And then our big topics this week are IDW's Revolution was finally announced. Willa Holland in some Arrow DC TVU news. And then we're going to review X-Men Apocalypse, which we saw this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Cool?
Yeah.
All right. So, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. Is it Into the Shadows?
Out of Shadows.
I keep saying Into. Is rocking a 33% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Okay.
But 94% of the public want to see it.
How many people have seen it? Because I didn't hear of any free previews or anything.
Yeah, I didn't hear of any around here. I'll say this. I don't know if I'll see it this weekend.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to see this one.
Well, sure. Yeah, it doesn't look bad. The last one didn't look bad. It was just... For me, it was timing more than anything.
The best thing about the last one was just the turtle-only scenes.
I was not impressed by Splinter at all.
No. Tony Shalhoub is the exact wrong voice.
Right.
Because all I can hear is Antonio from Wings.
Yeah.
Or Luigi from Cars.
Or the alien from Men in Black.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I purged that from the internal memory.
Men in Black's good.
No. Men in Black was... It was good. I'm not going to bash Men in Black, but it was not. I purged his little part because it was annoying.
I was going to say, you can purge Men in Black too.
There was a second Men in Black?
There was a third Men in Black, if you really think about it.
The third one was what? Josh Brolin? Okay, we're way off. We're 3 minutes in and we're off tangent. All right. So.
Tangents are okay. This is PBS.
You know, Ninja Turtles 2, it's got Stephen Amell as Casey Jones. I'm interested to see his
leap. That's all you need to say.
I'm really interested to see his leap to the big screen and if it's something that...
I'm more interested to see a character where he actually smiles.
Yeah, he's got a nice smile.
Well, you know.
I mean, he's a handsome dude.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
So, but...
You heard that here, Stephen Amell. You're a handsome dude.
He's a handsome fella. Anyway, but I'm looking forward to more like the brother interaction and the brothers interacting. I'm excited to see Krang or Kang. No, wait.
Krang.
Yeah, Krang.
Yeah, you Kang got it right. Is
Kang the Conqueror. Yeah, never mind. Anyway,
Kang the Klingon.
Yeah.
And Kang, you know.
I'm excited to see
it's Krang. A very useful name.
I'm excited to see the Technodrome.
Bebop and Rocksteady.
Bebop and Rocksteady. Seamus as Rocksteady should be
interesting.
Did
they do the dots on him in that? I don't know.
I didn't see.
Know that the guys who play the turtles actually wear the dotted suits and do
a lot
of the action.
I'm going to guess he probably did some of it just because, I mean, he's a professional wrestler who is, you know, the way I look at wrestling is they are actors who are really great athletes at this point. And, you know, I have no doubt he could do whatever they asked him.
Are you hoping for a yes, yes?
No, that was Daniel Bryan.
Oh, was that Bryan?
Yeah, Seamus did that.
Oh, okay. I got the two mixed up.
Seamus is the real pale guy, and he comes out and he smacks
his
chest.
Did he have like a red mohawk at one point?
Yeah, and it was for this
movie. Oh, okay.
Because if you see in the preview, it's like parted down the middle.
Okay.
So, but yeah. I don't know.
So two WWE stars in the movie and Stephen Amell.
Slammy award-winning Stephen Amell.
And then Megan Fox.
Yeah.
And Will Arnett's back too, yeah.
I love Will Arnett. Yeah. So anyway. Yeah. All right. So just it opens this weekend. If you want to go see it, go see it. Email us right on the Facebook page. Let us know what you thought about it.
Yeah.
I think that's enough to say about that.
Maybe if there's an early show on Saturday, I might go see it. I don't know. Tempting.
If there's like a noon, like or like noon 30.
Yeah.
Like maybe, yeah.
Oh no, if there's like a 8 or 10 in the morning.
Oh yeah, I can't do that. All right, and then so the other thing with Ghostbusters coming back and Dan Aykroyd saying he loves the movie and everything, Ecto Cooler is back.
Well, yeah, High C's smart.
Did you drink Ecto Cooler as a kid?
I don't even remember Ecto Cooler.
Like, I remember Ecto Cooler. I also remember living in a house where we never had High C.
I'm older than you by how many years? At least three. Four years. So what Ecto Cooler came out with Ghostbusters 2? It didn't come out with Ghostbusters.
No, it was the second one.
Yeah, so it came out with Ghostbusters 2, and I didn't even see that in the theater.
I mean, I know there are a lot of, like, younger people than me on my, like, that on my Facebook friends list that are, like, just losing their minds about this. Right. They're like, oh, have you seen it? Have you gotten it?
Yeah,
so I think...
Was Ghostbusters 2 89, right?
Yeah.
It was the same year as Batman and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Right.
And the only one I seen in the theater was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
I saw Batman.
Yeah, so. I didn't even see Batman.
I don't think I saw Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Right. But I never saw any of the Indiana Jones movies
in the
theater. I think
because of my age range, Ecto Cooler was off the radar.
I saw this in the theater, too. I saw Ghostbusters
in
the theater. Yeah, you know, for me...
I seen Ghostbusters in the theater. I remember seeing Ghostbusters in the theater.
Yeah, but. Like Ecto Cooler wasn't necessarily a thing in my house. So, like, I don't have that, like, love for it. But at the same time, I do want to get some and just mess with people.
Oh, well. You know?
Because I do. I want to do like one of those live Facebook chat things.
Yeah.
And like be like, hey, look at this Ecto Cooler and dump it down the sink.
Oh, you know? Nice. Just like, tie it to a tree and burn it.
Yeah. Just like, like how I did the Lego Deadpool Kills the Lego Universe. Like,
ooh, you could have Lego Deadpool kill Ecto Cooler.
How many different ways can I kill an Ecto Cooler pack? You know,
man, yeah.
So I might do that. That'll be fun.
Fireworks.
So yeah. Anyway, but so one interesting thing is it's not just going to be in the little paper.
Yeah, it's in a can.
It's going to come in a 6 ounce can, or I'm sorry, an 11.
Is
it
a Cinemark exclusive or something?
It doesn't say.
They said Cinemark was the place to find the cans.
Okay.
And that the shit's flying off of Amazon.
But it's 11.5 ounces, not 12.
Sorry, but it's just.
I don't know.
We haven't got it at my job yet.
If you when you get it there, you'll have to get me some. I'll pay you back.
For Oh, definitely.
Yeah. All right.
I might just run them over with a jack or something.
That'd be funny. All right. So then our other quick
just
bit.
Just buy it and run it over.
So Rogue One was announced that it went back for some reshoots after some test screening.
They're doing what, 4 weeks of reshoots is what they said?
Yeah, I think so, according to the Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah, I thought I read that right.
And, you know, obviously, the sky fell as soon as they heard that. And I'm going to give a quote here that execs felt that an early cut didn't match the tone of the franchise, but there's something about a standalone movie's current predicament that feels somewhat inevitable. And this is from an article from the Hollywood Reporter, which is linked to in the show notes.
Right.
Rogue One and the Trouble with Standalone Movies.
I don't think there's a problem with it being a standalone movie. I think the fact that the director is somebody who directs darker movies. You know, Godzilla was a pretty dark movie.
Oh, yeah. And especially the 2014 Godzilla.
Well, sure, yeah. And I think it's just the fact that he directed the movie that he wanted to direct, and Disney kind of went, well, you know. So, you know, Disney was dealing with those issues.
Right.
And it's just one of those things where, you know, we just had issues too, so.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is like, Force Awakens went through some pretty hefty reshoots, and it went through a rewrite.
Well, right.
After Harrison Ford broke his leg. So, for me, I think any extra time that they can give to these movies is probably not a bad thing.
It's just the thing that, like, you know, Disney's thinking the same thing that I think. These are kids' movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, we're all into this stuff.
Right.
But when we go see these movies, we feel like kids again.
Right.
And it's the thing where Disney's trying to carry on the legacy, and it's going to be, you know, something where, yeah, it may be rated PG-13. Force Awakens was rated PG-13.
Right.
But you have to keep it within a realm of,
what was it? Revenge of the Sith was the first ever PG-13.
Yeah. Star Wars movie.
Yeah, Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Ever. There was never a PG-13 movie before that.
Right.
I'm kidding. I get it. And they want to be able to sell toys, and they want people to look at the girl, the I Rebel girl. They want people to look at her in the same breath as they're looking at Rey right now. And they want want IP Man to be like, you know, everyone like, oh, I want to go check out all his cool Thailand, you know, martial arts movies. And,
right.
You know, they want Forrest Whitaker to, you know, carry the day and that kind of stuff. So, like, I get it. And, like, I don't have a problem with it. My bigger issue is I feel like they left behind a lot of, like, so kind of like we'll talk about this next with Rebirth. By getting rid of the expanding universe and kind of cherry picking, they've left behind some legacy.
Yeah.
That I think had they kept some of that, there's source material that they could have drawn from.
Well, and, I mean, if you think about it, if anybody's watching Rebels, it's like that's the source material that you draw from for something that happens in this time period. Because it's happening in that time period.
And I don't know if they're doing that or not. And, like, you know, like they're not done editing this movie.
No.
They're obviously not done shooting the movie. I mean, it doesn't even come out until
December.
Right. So, I mean, I think this is a whole lot. Like,
I just think that
as
fans, don't freak out with the first, like, you know, thing of, oh, this person broke their leg. When Harrison Ford broke his ankle, it's like the world stopped for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to change the whole movie. Right. It just means that some things were wrong. The executives were not happy with it. Guess what? They paid for this property.
Right.
So if they say something's wrong, then something's wrong.
And they had time to then go back and fix some things that weren't right.
And they did it with Force Awakens. We've never seen Constable Zuvio. We've seen an action figure.
Yeah.
And that's all we've seen.
Hey, he's the Boba Fett.
He's in the background somewhere, I'm pretty sure.
He's the Boba Fett of the new movies.
He's not even a Boba Fett. he's a cantina character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There we go.
They should have just called him, like, Saucerhead or something.
Saucerhead, nice. But the difference here between, like, you know, I saw some people talking about, like, the Suicide Squad reshoots. That's a little different. Like, that is reacting to another movie that just came out.
Right.
Just, you know, 8 weeks, you know, 10 weeks before your movie comes out. And you go back and edit. Then, yeah, I start to worry a little bit.
And I wasn't worried with that one either. But I'm the type of movie fan, because I'm a major movie fan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the type of movie fan where if somebody feels like something's wrong and they're going to go fix it, okay.
Please make sure you fix it for the better.
It's like, you know, you may be fixing it for the better, but I look at, like, things like the Rogue Cut, the X-Men The Rogue Cut.
Yeah.
For Days of Future Past. It worked better with the Rogue Cut for some parts, but then other parts did not work better.
Right.
And it's like, I want to see both versions. I enjoy seeing, like, you know, that type of stuff. It's like Superman 2. When you see the director's cut compared to the original cut, it's like, these are two different movies.
Yep. No, like the Rogue Cut is a great example, right? Because it had some interesting things, like, you know, the going back into Cerebro and things like that. But at the same time, it didn't fix anything that was wrong with that movie.
No.
I mean, you know, it should not. I feel like, and we'll talk about this with Apocalypse, you know, it shouldn't have been Wolverine going back, but whatever.
It made sense for Wolverine.
And I'll get into it,
right,
like, with Apocalypse, because there's things there. But anyway, so yeah, so I think overall, you probably shouldn't be concerned about Rogue One. You know, this isn't coming off of a poorly received movie in the same universe. It's, you know,
I'd love to talk to somebody that actually seen that and the issue is.
Because you had said you had heard that maybe it was too dark.
I think it might have been.
Because, I mean, for the first time, it's really
war. I know
somebody
had commented, and, you know, it was one of those a friend of a friend type things. But it's like, I did read somewhere where they said that there was some stuff in there that was a little too dark.
So for, was it like
kids?
Was it like my best friend's sister's brother's girlfriend knows this guy who's going with this girl who saw Ferris pass out on 31 flavors?
Wow, okay. Yeah. I mean, it could have been that. Yeah. But I think that that's a kind of a believable scenario that it might have got a little too dark.
Yeah. I think I've seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off one too many times.
Yeah, you probably have.
Rattle that off.
Yeah, if you can rattle that off.
Anyway, no, so I'm not concerned. Like, again, like if it's October, then maybe I'm a little worried.
Yeah, if they would have got to October and like you had some regular audiences saying like, I didn't like the scene where such and such died.
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah, but I think that it was just a matter of keeping the feel of the Star Wars universe.
Sure.
Because the rumor was that some of the Vader stuff in the movie, because Vader is in the movie.
Right.
Got a little too violent.
Well, I mean, it's Vader. Like, look at how Dave Filoni's used
right, but even the fact of what Dave Filoni's used and what George Lucas did in Revenge of the Sith,
right?
They alluded to stuff. Like, Vader... it wasn't even Vader. It was Grand Moff Tarkin.
Right.
Those two generals that he kills, you don't see it.
No.
And it's one of those things
like
where...
It's like a Hitchcock movie. You don't see
the gore. Yeah, you don't have to see the violence. It's
like the first Saw, you don't see the girl gore, you see the aftermath.
Right.
And that's worse.
Right.
So, I don't know, maybe it shows him, like in Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
We don't see him cut the
kill the young ones down.
But like, the lightsaber firing, and then the little guy who jumps.
Yeah.
You know, that right there is horrible.
That's all you gotta do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but, I only did it once. Anyway, all right. So then our last little quick news bitty here thing is DC news Rebirth. Bitty. I don't know. Itty bitty news bits.
And this is just you read these, so okay. You want to talk about them. I haven't read the Rebirth stuff yet. So
you read Green Lanterns.
No, I haven't read anything. I worked late last night, and then I came home and went to sleep.
Okay, so I got Civil War II, number one.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this next week.
Okay.
But, so I'll leave it at that. Okay, so then, for me, in order...
Is it just because of spoilers type stuff?
There are spoilers, okay. And I want people to get at least a week
yeah.
to see it.
Fair enough on a comic book.
All right.
With all the access there is to those comic books right now, so...
So, with the four Rebirth titles, I'm a little surprised Wonder Woman wasn't in this initial run.
Is she next week?
She's next week.
Okay.
I would have swapped... If I were DC, I would have swapped Green Lanterns for Wonder Woman.
Really?
Only because Arrow just finished up the season, right?
So yeah.
Build on that. And I would have stuck Green Lantern with Flash.
Yeah.
Green Lanterns with Flash
next week. That kind of makes sense, yeah.
All right. So, just kind of in order. So, Green Lanterns by Sam Humphries and Geoff Johns... was my favorite of the four.
Who's the artist?
The artist was Ethan Van Sciver and Ed Benes.
Oh, okay. So well, there you go.
Our buddy Ethan Van Sciver, who signed my St. Walker action figure's foot like Andy from Toy Story,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was funny, and he'd never had anyone do that. So it looks great.
Yeah.
It doesn't answer any questions.
Can you read it without reading the last, New 52 run?
Yes, because I didn't read the last
okay.
52 run. Right. So I'm not all in.
Okay.
But I am definitely coming back for Green Lanterns number one.
Okay.
Which
I think is what this is doing.
Right. Part of that too is Sam Humphries is a favorite.
Right, yeah.
So
right.
You know, so we'll go for there. The one that was the big surprise for me was Green Arrow number one, or Green Arrow Rebirth number one. By Benjamin Percy with art and color by Otto Schmidt. First off,
I love that name.
Yeah,
Otto Schmidt.
Otto Schmidt.
That's where the PBS voice comes in. Yeah. This art was done by Otto Schmidt.
best art out of any of the four.
Really?
For me.
Okay.
And Tomasi and Mandy.
The only one I didn't get.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I fear that they're going to try and shoehorn some Arrow TV stuff
right,
in
yeah.
here, but his costume is very similar to the TV Oliver.
You have failed the city.
But it is great seeing Green Arrow and Black Canary back together.
Yeah.
And the character design for Black Canary is very...
I dig the jacket with the...
Awesome.
With the bird on the yeah. jacket.
And
very
and,
bikerish.
And the, yeah, it's like from the All-Star yeah. Batman and Robin, Black Canary, which but I dug
her. She's rode a motorcycle, so yeah. like it's very like bikerish.
So so then for me, number three was Superman.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing these in ranking
yeah,
order?
Just I'm ranking okay. them. And that is Peter Tomasi and Doug Mankey.
Okay.
Which I loved their run on Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's part of the reason I got this, even though I'm not the biggest Superman fan, but... I mean, just looking at this splash page
yeah,
with Mankey DCU does. Superman and Doomsday
mm-hmm.
is beautiful and heartbreaking. And I sit here and I wonder how much it would be to cost to contact them and be like, hey, I want to buy this page.
Oh,
you know. But yeah, it so as someone who stopped
a couple of Doug Mankey pages.
Yeah. So as someone who stopped reading the New 52 Superman. Four issues into the run.
Yeah.
I'm completely lost.
Let me look at it real fast. Because I could probably answer a question.
Well, it's the Superman from the Lois and Clark Superman. So it's the old DC.
Okay, so it's the one from Convergence.
John's dad. Yeah, from Convergence.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So the Convergence Superman is the original DC Superman.
This is the one where it's really evident that Rebirth is going to be a Franken mashup of old versus New 52.
Right, because that Superman DCU. Is dead now.
Well, maybe. You got to read the book.
Well, but, no, you got to go back and read the last...
Yeah, no, like, I mean, I saw how he died, and he right. was like a pile but of
the
ash.
The 8 issues that led up to this, that they gave you the warning at the beginning of DC Rebirth.
Yeah.
There was like the warning that you have to read Darkseid War... Because something major happened in there, and you have to read the Superman books because something major happened in there.
Right. What happened in Darkseid War?
Darkseid died.
Okay, great.
I'm pretty sure they mentioned it in DC Rebirth.
I'm sure so. They did. Anyway.
Spoiler. Sorry. Sorry.
Post-spoiler.
I'm sure that everybody who got to pick up DC Rebirth read that, but like, that's one funny thing last week. DC Rebirth sold out.
Yeah, it's already back for a third printing.
Third print.
And the second and third printings are going to be $3.99 each.
Oh, yeah. So, know.
Anyway.
Probably different covers and everything. Yeah.
I liked it. I might get Superman number one or whatever, Action Comics 957, because it's going back to the original numbering.
Is Action Comics the Lex Luthor book, though?
It tells you in the back.
Yeah.
So...
So one of them is going to be Lex Luthor, and the other is going to be Clark Kent.
Yeah. Okay, so Superman number one in 2 weeks, and then next week is Action Comics, and Action Comics is Lex Luthor.
Okay, yeah.
So,
which is kind of what they did before the New 52. There was the Action Comics run that had
Lex Luthor. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
which is fine.
Because it's Tomasi, I'm going to give the first one a shot. And then my bottom of the barrel was the Batman Rebirth number one by Tom King, co-written by Zack Snyder with,
What? Really?
Or not Zack Snyder, Scott Snyder. Sorry.
Wait a minute.
And then the art was, Mikael Janin and colors by June Chung. It looks nice.
Yeah.
You know. There's this like cool little scene here where like Bruce is working out on the top
cool.
of Wayne
yeah,
Tower
but
and everything.
Do you know what that looks like? That looks like Captain America Civil War.
Yeah. So, but you know, it's got this thing he's
at least Lucius
there.
Is in there.
The best thing about this book is Duke Thomas from We Are Robins.
Oh, okay.
And his new look. Okay. I guess he's not, so this isn't a huge spoiler. He's not going to be Robin.
Okay.
He's not going to be a Robin. But he does look like he's going to be badass.
Okay.
So I'm going to get Detective Comics.
It looks like the more interesting book. Yeah,
I'm probably not going to get Batman number one at all. And, you know, especially with the art by David Finch, I'm not...
Oh, is David Finch
yeah,
doing the Batman
like, I like David Finch's work a little. Like, he's not one to blow my skirt up. But, anyway, yeah. So, that's my order. I'm interested to, after you get a chance to read them. To
yeah, I'm going to probably try and read them tonight.
To hear what you thought about them.
I wasn't planning on, you know, there's certain ones where I want to check out what they're doing. I was planning on picking up at least the Trinity characters.
Right.
Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman. For those who don't know, because yep. there's some that don't know. Sure.
I mean, and it changes.
And of course, like the Green Lanterns, because the Green Lantern is one of my... Yeah,
it's Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps right. is the other Green Lantern book.
Well, yeah. And then the Flash is the definite pickup Rebirth.
And the Green Lanterns
is
Rebirth.
Is the Teen Titans, or the Titans book with Wally is that a Rebirth book, or is that just a regular...
No, it's a Rebirth Titans.
Okay. And that might be one I pick up, too.
Because it's going to be Wally in the new costume right. with the red and silver. And then there's the Teen Titans, which is the Damian Wayne
head
Titans.
Which, we talked about it on a previous episode about, and there's stuff that, you know, you'll walk into the store, at least look at them.
Right.
Because there's stuff you might want to pick up.
Well, here's what I like about this, right? Instead of doing 52 new comics in a month where it's 17,
yeah, they're spreading
17,
it out.
I had four to choose from this week. You know, next week I'll have four Rebirth plus... Action Comics, right?
Yeah.
Or Superman, whichever one. I forget what I just said.
Action Comics.
You know, so they're going to start kind of like peppering the regular books in. I don't know. I'm interested to see if you have to read these Rebirth books to really understand where the
story is going
to go.
Which is another good test to see,
But yeah, I think overall, I did enjoy the Rebirth books more than Civil War number two or Civil War two number one.
It's a real weird time with those two companies because stuff's fluctuating so much and they're both trying their hardest to keep fans.
Yeah.
Because I do think that they both have lost a lot of fans in the last few years.
Yep, yep.
So it's one of those things where it's like, it's very interesting to see what games they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
The game of comics.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
You,
the paper throne.
You win or you get paper cuts.
Yeah. Well, hey, there you go.
Anyway.
You win or you get water damage.
Water damage and smoke inhalation because your house burned down from all the comic books in your house. Anyway.
You win or they get stored in a farm barn.
So,
sorry. Working at a comic book store, I've seen a lot of crazy.
Well, like those
the
books...
farm barn ones are always the fairest ones because there's like mice chewed on some of them and you know.
Well, it's like those books we got from Half Price Books. You opened up the package and it's like,
Like,
was smoking with this.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's not the worst story I heard.
Well, but no. Oh, no. Trust me. Yeah.
Well, yeah. The Doritos story I was told when I was on vacation by a comic store owner was the funnest one because he literally said... The guy brought the books in to sell to him because he was moving out of state.
Okay.
And he said that he said, I'll look at them. So he started looking at them and he said on the corner of every page was an orange mark. And my first guess was Cheetos.
Oh, yeah.
And he said that when the guy came back in, he goes, your books are okay. He goes, I might be interested in buying some of them. Mm-hmm. He goes, except I have a question. And he asked him about it. And his wife was with him, he said. And his wife started laughing at him. It was Doritos.
Nice, nice.
So it's like, probably don't eat when you're reading your comic books.
Or if you're gonna eat while you read your comic books, buy the digital ones.
Yeah,
and
well,
then
there
you're
you go.
Just
yeah,
messing
yeah,
up
yeah.
your iPad.
Yeah.
All right. So then moving on. More comic book news.
Take care of your comic books.
Yeah, take care of your books.
Yeah.
anyway, I had to put a harder book at the bottom because it was starting to
Oh, wow. I just noticed that. Yeah.
Anyway.
You probably should buy some boxes.
I have a box right there. And I have two packs of bags right next to it.
Jesus.
Anyway, this weekend.
Yeah.
I said that last weekend. Yeah. Anyway. All right. The IDW revolution is here.
More
is
comic
here.
Books to come. Well, we talked about Revolution.
We didn't know what it was yet.
Yeah, nobody knew what it was. And now, yesterday, Entertainment Weekly had the exclusive.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got the press release. Like, we got the press release about it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And I probably should have posted something, but
that
I did
been.
Not.
Or at least let me know. I mean,
so these are the Hasbro properties that they have the rights to. it's going to be G.I. Joe, Transformers, mm-hmm. Micronauts, mm-hmm. ROM, mm-hmm. Action Man, and Mobile Armored Strike Command, better known as MASK. And they're all going to be in the same book.
You know what's funny is that when you look at them, they all do mesh together.
Oh, so well.
Because it would totally make sense that the transforming vehicles from MASK were inspired by the Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
And that people that are part of MASK or Venom used to be either part of G.I. Joe or Cobra.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Action Man totally would fit in because he's been with G.I. Joe before.
And then, you know, the whole Micronauts in ROM, you know, being...
Well, Transformers and ROM are from other planets. Micronauts are from other planets. So
Are literally toys.
Mm-hmm.
They are 6-inch little sentient toys who can go through whatever the portal that they call it to get into their realm, you know?
Yeah.
So it does. It all fits.
Can't wait for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle crossover with this book and the Star Trek crossover and the Ghostbusters crossover.
So I have no idea. It's Fico Oso? Ocio?
What are you?
The artist? Who drew? Maybe. I don't know. Hold on. Let
me see. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So.
Ocio?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is beautiful. Like, this will be an awesome poster.
That piece.
So, and there's a link to it in the show notes, obviously. But yeah, so this will be really, really interesting.
And it's the background of the art.
True. It's the background of our featured
banner,
image.
The banner. Yeah.
So they've done this in the past where they had the whole Contagion thing.
Well, they did Infestation, and they've done
the Infestation,
all that. Yeah,
thank you.
But Infestation never crossed over. It was like a crossover where the MacGuffin of the story
is the only thing
was the crossing
from book
over.
To book.
Yeah.
And so this will be exciting. It would be really cool if they could get Nickelodeon or Paramount or whatever, Viacom,
just any of them,
to say, hey, you can put the Turtles in with these guys. Because the whole MASK Turtles thing
would be
pretty great.
Yeah.
But
And those kind of stories are fun just for the fact that, you know, it's the kind of like what would happen if this character met that character, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a fun thing to do. I mean, yeah, I'd like to see Turtles crossover and Ghostbusters crossover with this.
That would be cool too.
Yeah.
And I think I remember reading that, T-Bob is not going to be like comic relief. He's going to be actually interesting.
Okay.
So, but it's a 5-issue.
So no comic relief. It's just going to be a serious comic.
So this is a 5-issue biweekly event. So this is not an ongoing thing.
Well, no.
But hopefully, out of it, we'll get some cool crossover things. Kind of like the Star Trek, Doctor Who, Star Trek, Planet of the Apes, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. They've pretty much said that, like, with these characters meeting, that they will show up in each other's books off and on. So, you know.
That would be great.
Snake Eyes and ROM teaming up.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Just a whole bunch of like,
well, it's just funny
no
because
talking.
You look at this and you look back when Marvel was. Yeah. Marvel had Transformers, G.I. Joe, Micronauts,
and
ROM.
Yeah.
DC had MASK.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. But, I mean, those four properties were under Marvel, and Spider-Man showed up in Transformers.
Well,
I mean,
there was a ton of stuff with ROM. ROM
was associated with the Marvel Universe for a while.
Well, he was created in the Marvel Universe, but the Micronauts and X-Men had a lot of history and battles. And
it's just funny to see that
the evil leader, like the bad guy leader of the Micronauts, switched bodies with Kitty Pryde at one point.
Yeah.
You know, so, So
what's
this will
with
be fun.
Kitty Pryde and switching bodies and everything.
Well, you know, it's Kitty Pryde.
Yeah.
So
she had a dragon.
So 5 weeks or 5-issue biweekly. So it starts in September. It's totally
which is unusual too for them to be doing it at the end of the year.
I would think this would be a summertime thing. I think they're looking at Rebirth and they're looking at Civil War and they say, you know what, we're gonna make a splash at the end of the summer.
Sure, yeah.
Because I fully expect to see some actual IDW marketing for a change.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Because honestly, now is the time for them and Dark Horse and Image and like even like Oni and some of the smaller presses to pounce because DC and Marvel are vulnerable.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I didn't hear about any of this Arrow stuff until you shared it with me.
Oh, yeah.
Um, So Willa Holland, she's had an interesting week.
Well,
a couple weeks, really.
It was just the MCM Expo in London.
Okay. And is that where both of these came from?
Yeah. It was all one interview, pretty much. Oh. And it got split down in different outlets and everything. But, yeah, there was the two different stories. The one with her talking about the greatest loss.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that one first?
Or yeah,
do you want
to talk about what
she had to say about Marvel?
Yeah, we'll do the other one second, where she pretty much
is
ripping
so
DC apart.
Because, yeah, and there's another thing that she said about the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, well, the Suicide Squad ties into the whole franchising with DC and that. So. And I totally, like, that's the second thing we'll talk about, because that one is one where I'm like, I totally am in agreement with her.
So I'm in agreement with her on this first part, too, because she said, and this is a spoiler if you haven't seen the last four episodes of Arrow.
Yeah, the last half of the season, pretty much. But if you've been watching, like, if you watch Arrow through Netflix, you know, don't listen to this part of the...
Just plug your ears and go, la, yeah. la, 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 la.
Well, if you haven't watched this season of Arrow and you haven't seen X-Men Apocalypse, you can stop listening at this
save
point.
It. Just stop and save it in your podcast and then come back. Hey, what's going on there? All right.
The video.
Goddamn audio videos. I hate that stuff. Anyway. All right. So Willa Holland has come out and said that there's a death to a character that hurt Arrow the most.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Katie Cassidy's Black Canary.
Yeah.
And I am 100% in agreement with her. This season especially, they turned Laurel around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Laurel in the first season was a very interesting character.
Right.
Laurel in the second season, where she became the addict.
Yeah.
Not at all interesting, because they didn't really
do... Was that
in
the second or third season?
It was after Tommy died.
Yeah, okay. Then it was the second season.
But it was also her then... Like, because she kind of fought her way back.
Yeah.
You know, and was, like, working with Wildcat at the end.
Right.
And that kind of stuff. And I feel like she was a character who had gone through a crucible similar to what Oliver went through without having to get completely lost and isolated.
Right.
But she did isolate herself in a way. But I think losing this character, and this is a thing that I'm just really on right now with Rebirth, is they lost a lot of legacy by killing her off.
Right, right.
Felicity Smoke, as much as Emily Richards is beautiful and amazing, like, wonderful actress, she should not be the future of that show.
No.
Like, if they were going to kill anybody...
Especially since I just finished watching the season, like, this week. Yeah. She could have been killed off.
If they were going to kill anybody, she should have been killed off. But because it's on the CW, and they've got to focus on the soap opera-y drama, will they, won't they, Ross and Rachel type of a thing, they kept her around.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like, you know what? If you look at if you plan where you want to go, and like the other half of this, like they had a plan for where they wanted to go, and the rug was pulled out from under them.
Yeah.
This was a really short-sighted decision.
Yeah.
Now, there is another version of her. There's other Earths, you know.
Yeah, so, the Black Siren.
There's the Black Siren. We could get another, like, meta version of, like, Black Canary at some point. So,
it's
where
possible.
It's actually Dinah Lance, maybe. But
Well, and I mean, if you've seen the finale of Flash, I mean, who knows what could ripple out of that?
Well, you know, I mean, he just reset everything.
Yeah, so, you know.
Flashpoint, baby.
Yeah.
But, I agree with her.
The fact that her character and Black Canary, like, this year really became a team.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're really close.
Yeah, they live together.
Yeah, so it's just roommates. One of those things where, you know... And I think Katie Cassidy is a very good actress. I mean, you know, she's done enough of these WB type shows.
She was awesome on Supernatural when she was little.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I always forget that. But I'm like, when you mention it, I'm like, yeah, I remember her on there.
I mean, that's my go-to character for
but
her.
But, like, you know,
it's Lilith.
So. My girlfriend watched 90210, and I think that... No, she was on 90210. She was on that Melrose Place that
failed, like, the Melrose reboot. Yeah.
Season. But, like, she was one of the better things on that show. Because she can play, really nice, and she can play the straight up bitch, and she's really good at both of them.
Yeah,
and that, I mean that's Supernatural. She was a villain.
Yeah, I mean that's what made her Black Siren so good on the Flash. Yeah. She does that villain role really well.
Yep. So I mean, you know, it was one of those things where you seen something coming, but I'm like, I didn't see them killing her off.
Yeah.
And
all right. So then the second thing is she came out and said, basically DC has a lot they can learn from Marvel,
right?
Because of the Suicide Squad and Justice League plans.
Yeah.
And I had talked to Jeff, from Queensland Comics a little bit about this last night when I was in getting the Rebirth books.
Yeah.
And, or the other night. And you know, it's she's not wrong. I mean,
no. As fans, we've said this already because of the Ezra Miller thing.
Right.
I mean, you know, we've seen Ezra Miller. We've seen him in Superman, Batman. And it's one of those things where we've had this discussion on here.
We have a couple
people
times.
Have this discussion in comic book stores. People have this discussion online. And it's nice to see that an actor from one of these shows is actually coming out and saying something about it.
Well, and Tom Cavanaugh came out and said stuff about it earlier, right. And Stephen Amell said stuff about it.
But they never like blasted
Grant
it out.
Grant Gustin
like this.
Has been really classy this whole time. So, but I'll say this: the Task Force X version of the Suicide Squad, which the original name was Task Force X, which is what Arrow had.
But
it didn't. Well, it was, but they didn't call them the Suicide Squad.
The episode was called Suicide Squad.
The episode was, but the team was still called Task Force X.
Right, but they're not going to, in this movie that's coming out, they're not going to call them Suicide Squad. They're going to call them Task Force X.
We'll see, but yeah. But the actor that was Floyd Lawton.
Yeah, Michael Rowe.
Michael Rowe, thank you. Was the most perfect version of Deadshot you could ever ask for. And Will Smith does not want that kind of competition.
Right. Well, what's her name? Cynthia Ade Robinson that was playing...
Amanda Waller.
Yeah.
The Wall.
Yeah. I mean, Harley Quinn was supposed to be in that Suicide Squad episode and got totally cut out.
Right.
And last year, I met Michael Rowe at Motor City, and we talked for a good 15 minutes about why they, quote-unquote, killed Deadshot.
Yeah.
And he said it's just because of the politics, the behind-the-scenes politics.
And it's so funny because they made such a point, like, well, they're separate universes.
Yeah.
Great, then let them be separate.
Let them be separate. Let them those be characters two different be in both versions.
Yeah. And you know what? In Marvel, we're smart enough with the Marvel stuff. We're smart enough. Like, there were two versions of Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Nobody was confused. Yeah. Nobody was like, hey, why is Kick-Ass in the Avengers Age of Ultron? Hey, why is Kick-Ass's best friend in Days of Future Past as the same character?
Right.
You know? Like,
but people... have they called him Quicksilver in the X-Men universe?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, they are... This is a Warner Brothers thing.
Yeah.
They don't think we're as smart as we are.
Right.
And
they're not as smart as we are.
Well... they're not as smart as they think they are.
Right.
So, you know, there's that.
The idea of crossing these over, the idea that having Stephen Amell, which, you know, obviously we're going to see him in Turtles.
Yeah.
And that, but having him play Oliver Queen in a Justice League movie with these actors.
Yeah.
He could eat it alive.
Yeah.
Him and Grant.
Yeah.
I mean, they would probably carry the movie.
Right.
And that's the thing is, like, you know, I totally am in agreement with her. I do not. There's nothing that she didn't say.
It's not just like let's give him credit too. Right. Yeah. There's nothing that she said that's not.
But the thing is like she did it in a public forum.
Yeah.
And Tom Cavanaugh just put out a
he did it on his own podcast.
Right. So. Yeah. It's one of those things where when you're being interviewed at a convention by, you know, a major news outlet.
Right.
You know, in England, but a major England news outlet. It's one of those things where
I mean,
you've got some balls to be saying that type of stuff.
Just like Chloe Bennett did at the Iowa City Wizard World or whatever it was, where she called out Marvel. Like, hey, why don't you give our show respect?
Yeah.
Like, I love that these people are doing this. Now, I fully believe Sky and Speedy will be killed off on their shows really early into next season.
If they do that, that's the thing is at that point, everybody needs to be calling out these companies because it's one of those things where don't do it just because your employee has an opinion. Your employee's going to have an opinion and their opinion might be the right opinion.
Correct.
Maybe you should be listening.
Yep. No, I agree.
Yeah.
But
I mean, we're listening. We're listening to what they have to say.
Oh yeah.
Because it's the stuff that, you know, we say on this podcast, other people say on other podcasts, people say in general. You know, if you're a fan of this stuff, you're definitely like, why couldn't we have Grant Gustin in the Justice League movie as Flash?
You know how you can get Stephen Amell in the Justice League movie as Green Arrow?
How?
Go watch Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Twice this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show that he, show that his name is what brings you to the box office, because, you know, Turtles did okay the first time around.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was $60, $70 million.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was probably way more than that to make, but, you know, but if you go and you know, go and see it and then come back to social media and be like, man, Stephen Amell was great in Ninja Turtles, or I went to see Ninja Turtles because Stephen Amell.
Yeah.
That's how that happens.
Yep.
Hey, Grant, you're on hiatus. Go do a movie so I can watch
it. He is doing movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know,
he's working on something right now.
I will happily go watch Grant Gustin on the big screen.
Well, sure, yeah.
You know? I'm still not going to watch Glee, but I'll go watch him on the big screen.
I watched the first season of that, but I haven't watched anything else. But I'd be curious to see him singing on it, because that episode where they were in the
with the karaoke
thing, I'm like, man, he really is good. So it's like, you know, I guess it's just a YouTube search thing.
So now with Supergirl coming in,
yeah,
the guy that was Wynn was in that from
Supergirl. You want a musical episode?
He was in that movie with Anna Kendrick where they sang,
right?
And he had a pretty nice voice too. So, you know,
you're thinking a musical episode. That's going to be the 4-part crossover.
No, please don't. So, all right. So our last big thing we're going to talk about,
but that there are villains that have. Yeah. In the DC universe, that make things them. Like that happen. So that would be kind of cool.
It'd be a cool, like, Pied Piper thing.
Yes.
So,
yes.
With the Flashpoint, like, Pied Piper makes them all.
Yeah.
So I think the Flash will be, like, a Flashpoint thing.
And yeah.
The 4-part episode will, like, the crossover.
Pound it to get it out.
Getting it back to, or moving to the New 52 version.
Maybe they can combine, that's how they combine Supergirl into that universe.
Yeah. That's my thought.
Yeah.
All right.
I kind of like the idea of her being a separate entity.
But
with the crossover potential. Because the crossover potential has already been set.
It defeats a little bit of the purpose. Because then the Flash is the only one who can really get there. Maybe Vibe.
Yeah, but the thing of having Superman and Supergirl in that universe now is going to be, you know, what do they do at this point?
I want to watch Oliver freak out over Supergirl. Because he's going to want to kill her. Because he's like, she's too powerful.
So he's going to be Batman. Know?
Yeah, well, he is already.
He's going to say this and that. Supergirl's a danger to all of us.
You failed your planet now. Yeah. You know, but all right.
You failed your cousin.
All right, so let's talk about X-Men Apocalypse.
Yes.
So we both went and saw X-Men Apocalypse together.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't the plan, but you showed up, which was fun.
I popped in like Nightcrawler.
You bamfed in.
Yeah.
What did you think of the movie?
My name is Kurt Wagner.
Kurt Wagner.
Yes.
What did you think of the movie?
I enjoyed it.
I did too.
Not my favorite, but I enjoyed it.
No, again, I agree with you there. I thought it definitely had some problems.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
There were some pacing
the
issues.
The length?
You know, I was shocked at how long it was.
Let put it to you this way. Captain America is a long movie. Civil War is a long movie.
It didn't feel long.
It doesn't feel long. This actually felt long.
It did not feel long like Batman v Superman.
No. It didn't feel that long. But the thing with with X-Men compared to Batman versus Superman, there was stuff I could laugh at in Batman versus Superman. Where this was just, I needed to pay attention to the story because there was a lot of story.
There was, and that's where the pacing like kind of failed the movie.
Let me put it to you this way, and this is going to be a little spoilerific, because there's things that I was thinking about, and I wish that when Bryan Singer did the opening
with
Sabinor,
yeah,
that it would have been like the Mummy type opening, where it would have had a voiceover, and it would have been really fast paced and quick, and that would have been it.
It dragged out.
It really dragged out.
The whole thing with, I mean, the opening is brutal.
Yeah.
The
it's like everybody dies.
His initial four horsemen
were
brutal. And then the way they bought it was even more brutal. Yeah, I thought that scene
don't take
went
little
on.
Kids to see that. That
no.
Yeah.
Because the KB07 was like, hey, I want to go see X-Men. I'm like, no.
No.
Just
because
one's
of
not
the opening.
I think I told her, I said, when it's on video, you'll be able to watch it because you don't have to watch that part. It's like the Under the Red Hood animated.
Yeah.
She's never seen the beginning because she doesn't need to watch Robin get beaten.
Right.
Spoiler.
Robin got beat to death?
Sorry.
Wow.
Anyway,
Dick Grayson or
no, Jason Todd.
Who?
Anyway,
vote now.
die 1-900. I called. Like I got permission from my parents to call, and I want my.
I wasn't even in the comic books during that period. Yeah, Star Wars comics. That was about it.
So I was. It was Batman, Spider-Man, Green Lantern. So
okay,
but and then it was just Green Lantern, Spider-Man for a long time. But anyway.
It's amazing that as a kid I was more of a Marvel fan, and as a teenager I was more of a DC fan. As an adult, I liked all of them.
All right, so that initial scene where like they were destroying the temple around him,
it was the whole thing where it was like it was the obvious story.
But like,
it was
they
like
kept showing those.
What
like,
was it? 20 minutes.
Yeah. So, but they kept showing the like the big blocks.
Oh yeah, the blocks. Pillars. It's like.
I only need
to show
see,
that after
I didn't need
the
to see
beginning.
Seven of those.
Yeah.
I needed one,
yeah.
Maybe two, but like I didn't need seven. You know, and then the whole thing—the
collapsing of the temple. If you showed what it started out with, and then the temple collapsing, totally would make sense, and that would have trimmed off like 4 minutes,
at least.
Yeah,
maybe 14.
Yeah.
Like
I said, Mummy Returns opening would have been perfect on that.
So I have a question. Do you look at this as a sequel to Days of Future Past or First Class?
This is a sequel to Days of Future Past.
See, I came in looking at this as a sequel to, and I understand all the Days of Future Past stuff that happened.
Right.
I look at this as the direct sequel to First Class that the Days of Future Past stuff influenced.
Explain.
So... All right, so Mystique is now, you know, a known thing, right?
Yeah.
She saved the world. She's the savior of mutanity.
Yeah.
Whatever they call it, mutant life. Mutant kind, thank you.
Says like, the X-Men fan.
But what happens there, right?
Yeah.
Say this is an alternate timeline.
Yeah.
Because it is, right? Because she didn't kill Bolivar Trask.
Right.
The things that happened in there, it's like the two Martys, right? Like, that timeline affected this one. You know, there's no Rachel Gray, Rachel Summers, whatever, you know, that the time travel's not really, like, a huge thing right now with the X-Men.
Because it's too difficult.
And it is. But at the same time, I look at, so... You know, with Havoc coming back in. Because Havoc had such a small role in Days of Future Past. Just at the beginning there in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you forgot about it.
Yeah.
But to have him come...
Sorry, because him and Banshee, I get mixed up. Because those two were very similar in First Class. But Banshee's dead by Days of Future Past.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
You know, so you have all that. Which is killing Sean Cassidy. How do you do that?
Yeah.
So, there's no leprechauns now.
Well, the Belasco and...
Yeah.
Because Belasco in the comic book was the one that got with Mystique, and that's who the parentage of Nightcrawler is.
Azazel, yeah.
Yeah.
So
Azazel, Belasco, you know.
Sorry.
They're the same character, different name.
But we don't know that didn't happen, because, like, when she... In Days of Future Past, when she's... So, anyway. Like, I understand that. I think the outcome of Days of Future Past allowed this version to take hold, but I still look at it as the sequel to...
Are you talking like the X-Men universe of X-Men, X-United, X-Men Last Stand?
No, because those movies didn't happen now.
Well, right, but you're talking that Days of the Future Past is a direct sequel to those.
Yes.
Okay.
So... Because now, like, Wolverine can't show up, and they're all like, who is this guy? Because Gene and Scott and Kurt, who is now an original X-Man.
Yeah.
I mean, You know, the only thing we were missing at the end there was Colossus to have the giant size team.
Well, right. You were hoping for Colossus that shows up in Deadpool, but younger.
Yeah. I was almost disappointed that he didn't show up. But he could very easily
I be think that was just they didn't think about that type thing.
I think they did a great job showing how convoluted the X-Men story is.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, just running with it.
Right.
But no, I Ty Sheridan was great.
Yeah.
Sophie Turner was great.
Yeah.
I don't know who played Nightcrawler, but he was great.
Oh, it was Cody Smith McPhee from what was it? Let the Right One In?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a good one too.
Yeah.
The Magneto stuff was straight out of the comic.
Yeah, they took it in a different generation, but it was the same story.
So, yeah. I think
probably the most heartbreaking part of the movie.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Man. So,
I would have liked to seen his daughter become an X-Men.
Right,
she controlled animals.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
That was very cool.
Yeah,
you know, so. I think, you know, where the pacing kind of, where things, they kind of just threw in these, like, tentpole, like, oh crap moments, right?
Yeah.
Like, Quicksilver saving everyone in the school. While that was awesome to watch.
It's, the things it with Quicksilver gratuitous. Are, like, the best effects-driven scenes ever in, like, these superhero movies. Great,
yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's, like, you know, take a look at that for a Superman flying type thing because they didn't really get it right in Man of Steel or Batman versus Superman. Yeah. Like the flying isn't really that good.
Right, right.
I mean, they did a better job when it was a blue screen and him laying on a board. They Christopher did a Reeve.
Good job with the Superman Returns flying.
Yeah.
Like the when he's flying down through that plane that's falling apart, that's like the best Superman flying they ever did.
Right.
No, I agree.
And they've... The songs that they pick for when he's running and it's the slow motion version are the best songs to pick.
Well, and I love the Rush shirt.
Yeah.
You know, that was great. And he was good and I really liked him. You know, it was gratuitous. And I think by doing that, the death that happens at that point loses a lot of its agency.
Right.
You know, I'll
I don't think he's dead.
Well, I'll get to the Summers Brothers in a second here. But you know, the Magneto stuff was good.
Yeah.
The Magneto power set was, I don't know, problematic for me.
Really?
You know, I felt like, well, and I felt like you know, you other than Archangel, nobody really got a power up.
They Magneto, just got, I thought Magneto was, I think that, I
do
thought
you think he did?
Yeah.
I feel like he, they were,
well, the way
they got really cool, like, Apocalypse makeovers with the new costumes and hairstyles and stuff.
I just feel like the way that Apocalypse did it was, you know, not amping them, but showing them their true potential.
Okay. So he was maybe like a,
it's kind of, and because we're doing Star Trek reviews and it'll come up eventually. In Star Trek V, Cybok.
Yeah.
He shows up and he doesn't like increase anybody's power, just their potential.
Sure.
Because he, you know, you have great pain and he takes the pain away. When Apocalypse shows up in this movie, it's kind of the same kind of thing, except he's not going, you have great pain. He's going, I can show you what your true potential is.
All right.
And that's the way I felt that it was, because like when he has the interaction with Caliban.
Right.
He's like, you're no use to me because you have no potential, pretty much is the attitude that he has toward him.
But
because
then,
he was just using mutants.
Right. Because then there's a point where, like, all his horsemen have been annihilated by the X-Men, and he's, like, useless.
It's they're all useless at that
then
point.
Then what was the point of all this?
Well, it was the whole thing where, you know, at the point when they became useless to him was they realized that their potential is themselves.
Right.
It's not him.
Right.
It's not Apocalypse. Because Storm sees his true face.
Right.
Because he literally sells himself to the four horsemen, Magneto and Angel
and Psylocke
and Storm, as being, I'm going to save the world.
Right.
I am going to save mutant kind. And that's not what he wants. He wants to destroy everything.
He wants to watch it burn.
Right.
No, that's a really good point. All right.
You talked about the cast now. Oscar Isaac was a really good Apocalypse. Good. Like, compared to what they were showing in the pictures and all that, he did a really good job. My one complaint was, and I told somebody this at work, I said, when he and Xavier are fighting in the mine universe.
Yeah, the astral plane.
As tall as he is in that is what he should have been. He should have been 9 foot tall the entire time.
He was too short. And it took you out of those scenes because we grew up watching the 90s X-Men.
Right.
And he was...
Well, even in the comic,
But in the seeing him animated and in motion, you know, we're used to him being a much bigger, bulkier...
One of the ones that stole the movie for me was Alexandra Shipp.
She was the Storm. Dude,
man, Halle Berry had nothing on her.
And I think I told you, like, I read an article where she had reached out to Halle Berry.
Yeah.
And Halle Berry never got back to her.
Really?
And she's like, yeah. And she's like, well, you know, she's got her show. She was busy. And it's like, it's so much better that she didn't get back to her because, so I've been watching I bought X1, 2, and 3 on iTunes because there was a bundle. They were $15 for all three. And in X2, Halle Berry no longer has the accent.
Right.
You know, and it's like, were you...
She lost it somewhere.
Were you appropriated that quickly to American culture, you know? No, I look forward to seeing Alexander. I look forward to seeing the young cast.
Yeah.
Again.
10 years older, 90s.
Yeah.
You want the beginning of the movie to be...
Dude, I would lose my mind.
Yeah. So. Josh Hellman was back as Stryker, which was cool, too.
And it was great, the seeing him just in that small scene.
Yeah.
You know, it was good.
Yeah, it's just cool because, like, there's a lot of seeds planted in this movie.
His dad is one of the CIA agents in...
First class.
They mentioned
him in there. Yeah. But, like, it's just cool to see, like, I told you when we left the movie, I said Simon Kinberg gets the X-Universe since he wrote this story. He gets the X-Universe, and he planted seeds for stories that could happen in different movies.
Oh, there's...
Like, you know, there's the talk with the older Wolverine movie. This version of Stryker could show up in that as something.
Yep.
So, and I mean,
because there's going to be the old man Logan,
right? Yeah, but I mean, just the little bits and pieces of stuff that were planted. It's like, you know,
so I'll
how
say,
is it the 20th Century Fox does get the X-Men universe right, but can't get the Fantastic Four universe?
I don't know. It was nice to see Jennifer Lawrence finally getting to be like the focal character, who I believe she should have been the focal character of Days of Future Past. She should have been the one they sent back.
Right.
One, she's a better box office draw than Hugh Jackman.
Right.
Two, she's a better actor than Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
And three, Mystique with her has been an insanely interesting character.
Yeah.
You know, like Rebecca Romijn, she was great as
Mystique.
She
was really good.
But
she
didn't talk. She just fought.
Right.
You know? So, like, she's conflicted. She's pro-mutant, she's anti-mutant, she wants to hide, she wants to save the world.
But she has the links to Charles and the links to Eric that, you know, make her character conflicted because Eric is on this side of it, of the line, and Charles is on that side of the line,
and
where it's like the peace and the war.
Yeah. But she sees value in both.
Right. And that's the whole point at, like, the end of the movie. It's like, you know, you see that Charles is looking at her as, yes, you're right. We do have to protect ourselves.
I've been wrong.
Yeah. Well, the line, and they use it, the line
from X-Men.
Where it's like, you know, what do you do when they come to your mansion and come to take your kids?
I pity the fool who comes to the mansion to take my kids.
Pretty much. And it's like McAvoy delivered the line, like, as good as Stewart did, that, you know, they're going to rue the day they come to come here. It's
rue
like,
the day.
And then to show the danger room.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you could have just, like, kept rolling at that point.
So, the only time we've ever seen the Danger Room was the opening scene in X3.
Last Stand.
So, all right.
But you didn't... The thing was, is the way it opens, you don't notice the Danger Room. When they show the Danger Room, it's like, oh, yeah, there's the holographic projectors.
Right.
And then the doors open and Sentinels come walking out and you're like... Why couldn't this have been in the movie?
Where was this?
It's like, in the 90s version. Yeah. That should be in there.
So...
And there's where you're opening.
So the 90s. So the next one should not be Dark Phoenix.
What do you want?
Phoenix. I want her to turn into Phoenix.
And I'll say that I want Proteus.
And so you can have her as Phoenix with Proteus.
Right.
And then the end of that with how Proteus is as a character and the convoluted nature of Phoenix and Dark Phoenix, you can then segue into... Because she was Phoenix for 100 issues.
Yeah.
Or almost, you know?
Well, she's Phoenix in this movie. I mean,
well, and oh God, that was so
cool. That was awesome.
I will say this, makeup people, stop pulling Sophie Turner's hair back.
Yeah.
Her forehead starts where Jerry Rice's forehead starts.
Right.
Like, it just makes her look like she's being stretched back.
The thing with this is I can see that they did that because they were making her look younger and it's the 80s
and flowing, but she had like the hair like at the end, like, in that end scene, the way her hair was. It was perfect.
Yeah.
She's
an adult at that point.
Well, but even
they all grew up. Like in this movie, you actually feel like the X-Men grew up.
This was the first time we've seen the X-Men in a while.
Yeah.
And
since First Class. I mean, those kids were the X-Men. They were.
Like I'll even argue in X-Men 1, 2, and Last Stand. You know,
just say 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. Yeah. Like, it's Wolverine and a bunch of day players.
Yeah.
Like I made the joke before. Is this the 9th X-Men movie or the 2nd?
Right.
Like, I think it's the 2nd X-Men movie because I think there have been 7 Wolverine movies.
Wolverine movies,
you know.
See, but the first X-Men movie didn't focus that much on Wolverine because it was more a focus on Magneto and Rogue. So you could say the first X-Men movie is a Magneto-Rogue movie.
But
the second one was a Wolverine movie. I mean, it was mainly focused on Wolverine and Stryker.
Sure. Yeah. And then I just want to talk about Cyclops for a minute.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously he's my favorite character of the X-Men.
This one was not obnoxious.
They covered a lot of the ground they needed to cover. He was whiny and concerned and, you know, all that fun stuff. But at the same time, when it came time to step up, he did.
Yeah.
And he showed a level of maturity and leadership that you didn't necessarily see at the beginning of being introduced to him.
You didn't see, and that's the thing. I don't feel like you totally seen Scott the leader yet.
Now, here's my question. He had parents.
Were they his parents or were they his aunt and uncle?
Is that Christopher Summers? Is that Corsair?
Yeah. No.
Because here's the thing. Is the scene of his true origin with he and Alex, you know, getting the one last parachute and being tossed out of the plane by their parents as the Shi'ar, you know, pull them up.
Right.
Which, you know, that's not what we know happens, but we know after the fact. But, you know, see, not having that and him being part of the Ohio Mafia now, being from Westlake and, you know, all that stuff instead of Alaska, which is fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Like, Scott is a very tortured character. He doesn't get a lot of things that go right in his life. Is killing Havoc enough?
They weren't close.
Well, it seemed like they were.
They were, but they weren't.
Actually listened to Havoc,
and that might have been it. That might have been the fact that, you know, I think Havoc dying is the thing that makes him go, like, in his head more responsible,
right?
Because literally, it's let's steal one of the professor's cars and go. And then when he comes back, where's my brother?
Yeah.
He's dead. And that. But I think that, you know, if Mr. Sinister is the villain in the next one, which I get the feeling he might be, that you might see Havoc back. So, I don't think Havoc died.
So if it is Nathan Essex.
Yeah.
Or whatever. If that is who the big bad is in the next one, right?
Yeah.
Are they going to give then Havoc the backstory that Cyclops, that Scott had, where Sinister for years would experiment on him and torture him and then wipe his memory? And then, you know.
And that would tie into the Days of the Future Past thing with him being part of that group that was going to be sent to be experimented by.
Or is it going to be a thing where Scott is kidnapped and they have to rescue him, kind of a thing?
That the Summers line is a line that's tied to the Essex line?
Yep.
I think that would be a cool story.
I do too. Yeah. I'll say, I loved Lucas Till as Havoc. I thought he was great. Ty Sheridan was great.
He should be MacGyver.
You know, yeah, that's not.
I don't know how that's going to work, but
so
unless Richard Dean Anderson shows up as his dad and he's MacGyver's kid,
MacGyver Jr.
Yeah, well, that'd be fine. The preview kind of mentions that. But
the dog's name was MacGyver.
Yeah. Anyway. Your name is also Angus.
So, all right. I told you when we walked out, I enjoyed this as much as I enjoyed Deadpool.
Yeah. Do you still feel that way?
I do. I almost went and watched it. I almost went back to theater to see it again last night.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, you know, if I hadn't had a stack of comics to read for tonight, I probably would have. I may try and sneak out tomorrow night to go see it again.
Wow.
Even
though Turtles is coming out.
Even though Turtles is coming out.
Okay.
Because I did enjoy it, and I want to watch it again to make sure that, like, it's not just me being biased because
you're an X fan.
Yeah. I will say this.
See, I didn't feel like I was being biased with Cap because I am a Cap fan, and that I felt that they accomplished what they needed to accomplish with that story.
Sure.
And going into Avengers Infinity. With the X-Men universe, there's no potential for, and you know, I'm using that a lot today, but there's no potential because there's no other tie-in to that.
Right.
If they would have been smart and used Fantastic Four the way they should have, those two could have, like, carried a universe.
In the comics, though, they're kind of off on their own most of the time anyway. So.
Yeah, but when they show up, they show up hard.
And here's the best thing about them. Is you don't have to show an origin for how they mistakenly had some scientific thing happen and they got their powers. You can just write them as having powers because they're mutants, and that's the beauty of them.
Do you feel like Wolverine will show up in the next X-Men movie?
No, because I think they will show Laura, and it will be X-23.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Hugh Jackman's even said Old Man Logan's his last one.
Okay.
So... Which is fine. And you know...
Do you think that nobody else could play Wolverine?
I don't think anyone should. I'm going to be... I'm not a fan of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I recognize the cultural significance that he's brought to the character.
Right.
But I think they need to let this franchise sink or swim on its own.
Without a Wolverine.
Without a Wolverine. I think the Berserker Rage... You think
that
Rage,
X-23 will carry that...
The legacy.
That legacy.
Which I've been talking about a lot today. Yeah. I think having that Wolverine Berserker Rage scene instead of the mall scene that they cut out was a huge mistake.
Yeah, we were talking about that before the show. It's like they could have either done the mall scene because the X-Men show up at malls a lot.
A pool scene.
Or a pool scene because...
Or a basketball court
scene. Yeah.
But yeah. You know,
the pool scene would have been interesting because that's what I said. That's when all hell could have broke loose. And...
They need to stop trying to make Jubilee a thing, though.
If you're going to do Jubilee... Actually use her?
So here's the thing. Like, how familiar are you with modern Jubilee?
She's a vampire now.
She's a vampire.
Right.
So on M-Day, Decimation, No More Mutants.
Right.
She was one of the mutants that was depowered.
Okay. Right?
To me, that shows me nobody cares about Jubilee at Marvel. Yeah. Because it's like, okay, the cool X-Men all kept their powers.
Right.
You know, some of them got a little wonky with their powers, but they kept their powers. The fact that she was depowered and then ended up with Dracula, who, like... I did not realize until recently how tied into the X-Men universe Dracula is.
Well, Inferno. I mean, the Inferno storyline was what? Storm became a vampire?
Yeah, for a little bit. And Dracula was in love with her.
Right.
And then, like, you know, for a while there, like,
Jubilee I am not an X-Men fan and I know this.
I know. Jubilee was, like, sucking Wolverine's blood so she could be, like, have healing factor and things like that.
Really?
Yeah. But, okay. You know, I'll say this.
Which is kind of weird anyway.
Yeah. So Jubilee is not a character who is interesting in anything other than the 1990s cartoon.
Yeah.
And even then, she is a hindrance.
Yeah, she's the MacGuffin of that.
She's the damsel in a dress.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Jubilee is like the replacement for Kitty Pride at a certain point.
She did. She replaced Kitty Pride in the 90s cartoon.
Because she was the teenage, you know, the teenage vixen.
I would like to see a new Kitty Pride show up.
Okay.
Because, and I think.
Well, and they have that potential now.
And I think if they go 10 years older.
Yeah.
So put what? So say Scott's what, 14 or 15 in this one?
He felt like he was more 17.
Whatever. So put it
junior year of high school. So 17.
Okay. So put these characters at 25 to 28.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you have Beast, who will be in his 40s. Mystique is, we have no idea how old.
Will we get Kelsey Grammer, or will we get?
I like Nicholas Holt, man.
I do.
Mean,
somebody did comment, and I kind of agree that his makeup has kind of gone downhill. It's not as good in this one as it was in First Class.
In First Class, it was. See, in First Class, in some scenes, it was really good.
Yeah.
In other scenes, it was just garbage CG.
Right.
Yeah, his fur was a little too like neon blue.
Right.
But no.
He had some of the cool fight scenes.
He did. His
him and Psylocke.
His power set is great.
Yeah.
You know, I like I was saying though, I would like to see bring in a younger Kitty Pryde.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, don't.
Well, yeah, Kitty. If you're gonna do the '90s,
yeah,
X-Men, that's when you bring in Colossus. That's right. When you bring Kitty.
You finish
and
out
you
the giant
use them
size,
as the characters know. They are. The you know, but, Kitty and Colossus had a relationship.
So. Like, I would like them to at some point reintroduce a White Queen, Emma Frost.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a Emma Frost daughter or something like that. Like, working in that
way.
Did
they say if she died?
I didn't see. Like, I
don't
told
remember
you, I rewatched.
Her
I was
being,
pausing.
Right.
As, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember in Days of Future Past them mentioning anything about her dying. It's just one of those things where you could see that a new Hellfire Club could be formed.
Right.
Yeah, and she would be the one
well,
leading it.
Instead of the Hellfire Club, it's the Massachusetts Institute.
Right.
You know, with the evil school of, you know,
X-Men.
Yeah. The evil school of gifted monsters. But yeah, anyway.
Wait a minute. Right. Would they be the B men?
The
because
B-men.
They're bad. Ah.
The Z men.
No.
Y men?
No.
Anyway.
Seamen.
On
this movie's
note,
not for kids.
All right. So, yeah, no, I think, like, definitely go watch this movie. Like, I don't know if you have, well, honestly,
do
we saw
do you have a rating?
The,
like a five? Do you want to do a
8 out of 10?
8 out of 10?
Yeah, just like Deadpool. I mean, you have an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
So,
maybe mine was probably a little less.
You gave Deadpool a little higher than I did, actually.
Yeah, but, I like Deadpool more than I like this, but it was because of the length. Deadpool didn't feel like a long movie,
this
and Deadpool
movie,
wasn't a long
this
movie.
This movie could, like, so Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Being a 90 to...
I would have made it, I would have made
under
it just
hours.
Under 2 hours.
Like, an hour
like
58
I said,
minutes would have been great.
The 15 minutes at the beginning, cut out, and just The Mummy Returns.
Sure.
Ancient Egypt, blah, 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 and some of Noah rules, blah, blah, blah. Done.
Yeah, I mean, at a 140.
They could have had Odette Fair to like do the voiceover too, and that would have been
that'd
sweet.
Have been awesome. As 144 minute runtime, it was long.
Oh my god! So,
well, because my wife texted me while we were in the movie,
yeah.
And I was like, still going. And she's like, how long is this movie? And I'm like, I don't.
Well,
know.
Well, yeah, you add trailers onto that. So, we were in the movie for 3 hours.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, all right,
I got things to do. Hello, yeah. Bryan Singer. I got things to do.
Oh, speaking of,
yeah.
This should be his last go. No more Bryan Singer directing.
Bring back
Matthew Vaughn. Please.
Matthew Vaughn. Yeah.
You know, he can
give
have
somebody new a chance.
Well, I would like to see somebody new, to be 100% honest.
Yeah.
But Bryan Singer should be done. You know,
I'd like to see Bryan Singer as a producer on the movie,
sure.
So he can have a voice because he should have a voice in this universe because obviously his voice works. Simon Kinberg, yeah, come on back. Write the next one.
Yeah, please.
You know, it's like you got a good voice on the X-Men.
Let's have some restraint next time around, fellas.
Yeah. Villain-wise, Mr. Sinister would be my major pick because I've always liked that villain.
I agree.
I don't need the Mr. Sinister with all the spikes.
No, you definitely need that Mr. Sinister.
No. This is what I want. If we're going to bring Mr. Sinister in, slick black hair.
Okay.
Pale white skin.
Sure.
With the red diamond.
Yeah.
But I don't need that cape.
Okay.
I don't need that fringe.
But he definitely needs
cape.
To be like flamboyant and like,
oh, yeah.
you know, dialed up.
Yeah. But I want him to have the pale skin.
Sure.
Because I think that was always, to me, that was always one of those things where, you know,
the
dude's
teeth.
Bad.
He
oh, yeah. And
the
sharp
teeth.
But you knew the dude was bad just by he didn't have to even talk.
No.
And you're like white skin and a red diamond on your face. Okay, you're bad.
And he had the little like mustache and the goatee thing.
No, he didn't in the cartoon.
He did for a little bit, yeah.
Oh, in the cartoon, he didn't.
No, I mean, but in the comic.
My major X-Men experience is the cartoon.
So
I have read classic X-Men like Byrne and Claremont and stuff and that. But
did you ever watch the Wolverine and the X-Men cartoon?
No,
it was the one season. Sinister's in that.
Okay,
and
now I probably will watch
he
it.
He looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting version.
I just think that Sinister should be in a like black Armani suit.
Yeah.
And
he can't be too like grounded in realism.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he is a mutant geneticist who,
right.
You know, but you know, I think with him, that's the way where we get Gambit introduced.
Gambit.
You
know? Yeah. I didn't even think about Gambit.
So that
yeah.
kind of stuff.
Gambit and Rogue, really. See, it's every movie, as they do it, should introduce a younger generation.
Sure.
So a young Kitty Pryde, mm-hmm. a young Colossus, a young Rogue, Gambit being, you know, in his 20s.
Yeah.
But those three being like teenagers, yeah. early, like.
I think you put Colossus and Kitty closer in age.
Yeah.
Just because you don't want the creepy 19-year-old and 13-year-old
right.
having a relationship.
No, yeah, that's where I say that Colossus like, and Gambit would be in their early 20s. Rogue and Kitty, late teens.
17, yeah. 18, something like
yeah.
that. Yeah. No, I get it.
I don't think that they should ever really, like, have kids as the X-Men.
Always need to have the school.
Yeah.
Like, with the mutants running around. And,
right.
And, you know, they need to have the budget to have more than just the two.
Well, right. That's great.
But it's like we couldn't afford another X-Men. But yeah.
Well,
all right.
Yeah, you're not going to even get one X-Men in the next Deadpool movie because Cable's going to eat up the budget with time travel.
Yeah, no kidding. Cable.
They have to acknowledge that too.
Nathan. So anyway. All right. Well, cool. Good show.
I'm happy yeah. with the movie.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's definitely one I want to
We don't
see
need a road again. Cut for this one. That's for sure.
No. All right, man. So did you know you can find us at Twitter?
Yes.
And on Instagram?
Yes.
And on Facebook?
Yes.
You know where else you can find us?
Where else?
On iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and pretty much any other podcatching app that's out there.
Aren't all these links on the webpage?
They actually are.
Okay.
Into the 10 of you listening on Pocket Cast.
Wow.
Thank you.
I quit every week and he downgrades us every week.
No. So the new like thing I have, like Pocket Cast is an actual like, there's enough people.
You can actually see people.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway.
Well, any new listeners, welcome.
Welcome.
Any continuing listeners, thank you.
So here's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you've listened to this point, first, I'm sorry. Second.
Are you saying if you've listened from the beginning till now?
I have a code
for Deadpool.
An HD download of Deadpool
yeah.
for iTunes or Ultraviolet. So if you're listening, email us at contact@infamouspodcast.com. Tell me what color Deadpool's masturbation shoes are. And the first one we
get. Oh my God.
The first one that we get, I will email you the code.
Okay.
contact@infamouspodcast.com. You can get to it from the website or just, you know, type it into your favorite email app. Anywho. Yeah. So
cool. Yeah.
I'm Brian. I'm at Brian Tudor on Twitter and
everything.
Yeah, actually on everything. I'm not the magician who's Brian Tudor. So I had on Snapchat a guy like, "Hey, are you the magician Brian Tudor?" I'm like, "No, I'm the guy who's good at branding that's Brian Tudor."
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway,
but I can make this drink disappear.
I can make all the listeners of this podcast disappear.
I'm at Johnny Podorf on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook. I think I'm the only Johnny Podorf with one F in my name.
Yeah.
So I think there is a Johnny Podorf with two Fs. So
okay, let's find him.
Yeah.
And break
it. He's related.
Oh, is he?
I'm sure he's related. That's a very. Yeah. That's not like a Smith or a Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but
anyway,
Smith, Johnson, Black.
Never mind.
Brown.
It wasn't, but never
mind. I got you.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, guys, thanks for listening, guys, gals. You know,
everyone.
Let us know what you think.
Man,
what did
woman,
you think?
And child.
What did you think of X-Men?
Thank you for listening to PBS.
PBS, Johnny. What did you think of the things that Willa Holland said? Do you agree? Are you looking forward to IDW Revolution? And if you go see Ninja Turtles this weekend, let us know.
And let Stephen Amell know.
Yeah.
And let WB know that you've seen it because of Stephen Amell.
Yep, yep, yep. All right, guys. Whenever you're listening to this, have a great day, night, weekend, morning, afternoon, whenever it is.
Apocalypse.
Later.